Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week on Plugged Into, we're going to be talking to Katie Ray. She is a London-based producer, and we're going to talk about how she got into production and how she's been collaborating with different artists. And it will cover some questions about how to get started in this field and also how to be able to build a reputation. We're also going to be giving some tips and pointers about how to navigate the vast amount of equipment and also electronic software that you can also download to get started on your journey. So let's jump into it. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey?
I am Katie Ray, and I'm a writer-producer from North London. I used to be an artist, and I did that for, I was like 16 when I started, and I kind of like came to an end with that journey when I was about 20. And then I started getting into writing, and then from there I kind of ended up where I am now. So it's kind of like had a little long walk around in music, kind of figuring out where it was that I wanted to sit.
So that journey as well of you being able to transition from an artist to a writer, what kind of spurred that?
I don't know. I kind of, when I started writing when I was quite young, I loved looking up to like the Nashville writers. So like everyone doing stuff behind the scenes. And I'd sit in my bedroom and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to write a song for Carrie Underwood. And I'd be like 13 and they'd be total trash, but I'd still do it that anyway, which is kind of weird. I never thought of myself as being the main pop star, even when I first started. And then just to get people to hear my songs, and so I could like be involved with the music community, I started releasing it and started putting stuff out. And I did enjoy that. I did enjoy gigging and stuff, but I just never felt right doing it. I don't know. I always felt like it was such an uphill struggle, and it is in a lot of ways, but I didn't have the love for the performing and the touring side of things to really keep myself going with it. But I loved writing. So when I graduated uni, I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to take a step back from doing the artist project for a year or so and see how it goes. And I texted all my friends that I'd already met through being an artist. And I was like, oh, can you please come and write with me? I want to write for you. I don't want to write anything for me. And I'll make you a little demo. Because at this point I had Logic. I had like a really cheap mic and a keyboard. So we'd record these really small vocal piano demos. And yeah, I just ended up writing loads with people I already knew. And then I started getting little cuts out with some smaller independent artists. And then it just really grew from there. And also because I had people's songs that I'd worked on and all these demos on my computer, I started in the evenings after they'd gone home. I'd never send them to them. I'd just send them like the piano and vocal. And once I'd done that, I'd start like messing around with like some percussion or some backing vocals and being like, oh, and then you could do this. And that's how I naturally also got into the production side of it, because I never wanted to be a producer. Honestly, at uni, I would not go near a computer. I didn't want to touch it. So yeah, that's how I ended up here. But yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, honestly, if you ask any of my tutors at uni, they'd be like, no, Katie did not want to do anything to do with music production. But yeah, I think I just kind of found my feet with it a little bit. And I just needed that. I needed to see the side of it that was interesting to me, because I didn't want to produce the stuff I was making when I was an artist. But when I really got into the pop side of production, that's when I got really inspired by it, I guess.
And what's the difference between that, between what they were teaching at uni in terms of production versus what you were learning in pop in production, that suddenly you were like, actually, I enjoy this now?
I already knew how to use Logic, and like the lessons at my uni were great. I did see myself as an artist, and I was also doing country music. So I was like, when I was recording my music, I was going to like a big studio and we were doing like live drums, live guitars. There was hardly any sampling, synths. There was none of that in the music I was making. So they were teaching that at uni, but I had no interest in it. I was like, I don't need to know this because I'm not doing that for my artist project, which is very naive of me. And I was just an 18-year-old stuck in a ways, to be honest. But yeah, I was like, well, I don't need to know that. Like, I want to do country music. I just, I didn't, didn't know that I could do the pop side of things as well. So I never really listened.
And if you were looking at where you were when you were 18, what kind of advice would you say to yourself at that point? Because I mean, I think we're all a bit stuck in our ways at the age of 18, and then we suddenly realize we actually don't know anything. So
yeah,
so looking back and going, oh wait, actually that's really naive of me. But what would be the key bit of advice you probably give yourself when you were 18?
Definitely have more of an open mind to where you might end up. Yeah, when I was at uni, I saw myself as like, yep, I'm gonna do this country folk music thing forever. And in hindsight, that was not a great plan, but I did really love what I was doing. But yeah, definitely just to be more open-minded with where a career can take you, because I feel like, especially when I've been pretty one-minded about what I was gonna do, in quotation marks, when I grew up, for years. And then I kind of found myself going down a completely different path. So, and if I had been more open-minded back in the day, I probably would have found my feet with what I was meant to be doing earlier. So yeah, definitely just, you know, try giving everything a go.
And this, and now we're coming up to where you are today. What is, tell us a little bit about the projects that you've got going on, first of all, in the present day.
So I do a lot of production for some amazing independent pop artists. I currently, one of my main people I work with is an amazing artist called Betsy Gold. And we've co-written and I've co-produced or produced like all of her singles that she has out. So we met about a year and a half ago when I just started producing in sessions, because I used to just write and then I'd make a little demo and I'd be like, cool. But in sessions, a lot of the time, people make track as you're writing. And I hadn't got quick enough to do that until I met Betsy. And then I felt really comfortable with her. So I was like, do you mind if I like just try making a little bit of track as we write? And she was like, yeah, of course, go for it. I'd love that. And we ended up just working so well together. And she was so encouraging to me as a female producer. She was like, oh, like, you know, just like send me the demo and like, you know, you can always make track with me. Like, I love it. We can always get someone else involved to like beef up the production. And then I'd make her these tracks and she'd be like, I love it. I want to release it like that. And I'd be like, are you sure? Are you sure? And then she'd be like, yeah, I love it. So we've been working together for, yeah, about a year and a half. And I absolutely love working on her music. I'm also working with an artist called Leo, who's another amazing pop artist, really cool, like kind of left song concepts and just cool distorted production kind of thing. Yeah, those two projects are my main pop projects at the moment. And then I've also found my way back into country music as a producer, and I'm working with Tim Protty Jones on some of his solo stuff, which is really fun, and I'm really enjoying being back in the country scene but as a producer. So yeah, those are, I guess, my three main things I've got going on right now.
And if you were to say the present day, there's someone new coming into the music industry, what advice would you give them to get started if they want to be doing what you're doing right now?
Ooh, I would say don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Get yourself, I mean, when events can go back on, that's where I met most of the people that I work with. Like, go to every event, put yourself out there, meet people. Honestly, and also in lockdown, actually, I've been just like joining loads of Facebook groups, and it's been like a really good source of new people to work with. Like, I'm in a group of all female producers that's so supportive, called 2% Rising. If you're also a female producer and want to join us, we have like Zoom calls and skill shares and all that stuff. But yeah, I definitely say just networking is your main source of like building confidence in yourself and also finding the people that you love to work with. It's all about your relationships with other people and just believing in yourself as well.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that I always get asked by artists as well, and that also want to write more, is where to expand your network. So you're just saying as well, it could be as simple as a DM, right?
Yeah, like Betsy, me and Betsy could kind of like known of each other around in the London music scene. And one day she just DM'd me on Instagram. She was like, hey, I'm on the train into London and the producer I was meant to be working with has just dropped out. Like, are you around today? And I teach piano in the mornings, and I was literally in the middle of a piano lesson. I got this text and I was like, oh yeah, I've heard she's really cool. Yeah, sure. It was like a Sunday afternoon and everything. And we just did it on a whim like that. And she literally messaged me through Instagram. So you can have like, honestly, she's like one of my best friends now, and you can just have a relationship that spans from that from an Instagram DM. So I always check out anything that comes to me. I'm always like just hyping up other people, you know, not being too pushy with it, but just, you know, keeping in the loop with everything that's going on online and just being there for other people when they release and just stuff like that. It's really good just for building your network.
Yeah, and building your rapport as well. And and the other way around from that, how do people find people like you? What, I mean, are you getting sent tracks or are you getting sent concepts and, you know, and collaborating in that way?
Most of the time I get sent like SoundCloud links. I get sent like even voice note demos. I had a girl send me some voice note demos the other day. She's like, I'm looking for a producer to work on these songs. And they were just like acoustic guitar and vocal. And I was like, oh my God, these are amazing. So they don't even have to be like full demos. Yeah, most of the time it's just SoundCloud links. They've contacted me through my email, on my Instagram. And I meet people a lot before COVID, just like out and about at networking and at gigs and stuff. So it really depends. It can be any of those different things. But just having the confidence to reach out and put yourself out there is, you know, you never know what can come from it.
So what's your process as well? What's your process in terms of collaborating and making a track? Because I think that sometimes people get a bit mystified about what actually happens within the music studio.
So if we are just writing, we're, you know, making a new song, honestly, the first hour to hour and a half is like chatting and drinking coffee/ eating snacks. I always think it's kind of good to just have a little chat before you start, because sometimes people come in and they have like, I'm really focused on this title or this concept and I really want to write this today. And that's cool. But sometimes you just, you know, have a chat and then something often comes up in conversation like, oh, actually, that's a really good starting point for a song. Like we talk about what's going on with their relationships, what they're kind of feeling. And then once we've decided on what the song's going to be kind of based around, then I'll start making a little bit of track. The artist will kind of just mess around with some melody over the top, start writing some lyrics. It just starts to flow a little bit. It's kind of hard to describe because all of them are kind of different as well. Sometimes people bring half done songs and then we make the track and flesh the song out a bit. But it's even times, I keep using Betsy as an example because we write so much, but one day she came over in December last year and we were just sat down and we were chatting and she was like, oh yeah, on the drive here I was really worried because it's Friday the 13th and I'm, you know, it's a bit scary. And I was like, oh, that would be a really good title for a song. And then we ended up just coming up with this whole concept around Friday the 13th and it actually got released a couple of months ago and that was just such a fun day. So it can, anything can kind of spark the song. Yeah, it's different every time, which is kind of why it's a hard question to answer.
No, of course, it's definitely personal to the whole situation, but I think it's nice to obviously hear that there is some sort of rapport that obviously is constantly built and how to go about that in a natural way.
Yeah, it's definitely not just sitting down like, right, what are we writing about today? It never works out well when you do that.
For sure, too forced, hey?
Yeah.
Leave it too much there. But I think that kind of leads me onto a question that I feel like I've been asked quite a bit now, which is all about splits and this whole idea of the songwriting process. And I think that people always find that it's a bit difficult to ask that kind of question.
Yeah.
And when do you ask? What's a good time?
Honestly, if they've come to me with nothing apart from maybe a title or like a couple of lines of lyrics and we go from nothing to the whole song end of the day, it's pretty much assumed between the both of us that it's 50-50. And it's always worked like that. I'm lucky that I've never had anything like awkward with song splits. And if I have, they've never been released. So start to finish at the end of the day, split equal between everyone in the room. And I always kind of do it if there's a three-way and we've got a group chat, we kind of leave the room, get the demo, and then I just put a text in the group chat like, so are we all cool to just split this equally, guys? And then just a little smiley face. And that's normally totally fine, works out great. The more difficult thing is when, if you're a producer or a writer and you're writing with an artist who's brought you maybe a verse and a chorus and maybe a little bit of a pre, and you kind of just help them flesh it out. But I think you really have to just think about how much you've contributed. And then I always make like a little proposal to them saying like after the session, if you just give them a text like, hey, love that song we did today, just so we can get the PRS sorted. I was thinking that my contribution was maybe sitting around 20% well, 15 to 20%, let me know how that sits with you. As soon as you, like, the sooner you do it, the less awkward it is. If you leave it and leave it and leave it, and then, like, the day before it's getting released, you're like, oh God, I need to sort of that PRS. That's when the issues start. So as soon as you can, really. And it can also be done in such a friendly way. It doesn't have to be, it feels awkward, but the more you do it, the less awkward it will feel.
100%, and I completely agree with that. End of the session, a friend of mine was talking about he has a writing partner, and they say every single time at the end of the song, end of the session, they know that they're going to have that conversation.
Yeah,
and saying any longer than that, it just gets awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I'm lucky that I've worked with people who haven't been awkward about it, and it is just assumed if you've gone from start to finish all in the day, it's split equally between everyone in the room. Like, once you start arguing, oh well, that person, they only did one line, and you know, they can only get 5% of the song because they just sat there doing nothing all day, it's like, well, they might have been the hype man, they might have been saying, like, they might have been chatting about a story of their friend that inspired a line. I don't think it's really fair to start having those conversations. It's like, if you're in the room, you take an equal split.
Yeah, and pick your battles as well, probably.
Oh yeah, right? Of course. It's like, honestly, and like, at this stage in my career, like, and the people I'm working with, it's like, we're not exactly fighting over millions of pounds. So it's not worth ruining your relationships over.
Yeah, for sure. So starting out in music production as well, this is one key question. If someone is literally starting from scratch, they don't know anything about music production, but they know that they really want to, like, head into that, where do you start?
Oh, that is a good question. So you need to start with a DAW, so choosing what you're going to make music on. There's good free options out there, but have a research. I mean, if you're working on Mac, then you've got Logic as an option. And if you're on Windows, you've got Ableton, Cubase, all those different things. But you can also get free ones. You can get GarageBand. Starting on anything is a good start. And then researching on YouTube, like, basic tutorials. There's so much content out there for beginners, especially. And maybe getting something like a Splice membership. Like, that is what helped me so much at the beginning, just to have access. So basically, Splice is just a sample library of hundreds and thousands, probably millions of samples. And you can just, you pay, like, I sound like I'm sponsored by them, but I'm not. You can pay, I think it's £7 a month, and you get 100 credits to download samples, and you type in snare and it will come up with millions of snares. And that really helped me at the start, just to have access to all these sounds I could do anything with. And then I'd get loops off Splice, like drum loops, and then I'd try recreating the drum loops out of different sounds. And then I'd also listen to songs. I'd try, like, recreating the synth sound, and getting to grips with Logic's basic synths, because I'm a Logic user. So getting to grips with all the basics, and then, yeah, just messing around and having fun mostly, and not trying not to compare the stuff I made to stuff that was on the radio, because honestly, the people that make that stuff, they've been going for like 20 plus years. So yeah, just having fun, making little songs, sending them to my friends, being like, what do you think? I made this. Having a supportive network around you whilst you're doing that is really important. But yeah, I honestly, looking up stuff on YouTube was a huge resource for me. Also, looking up your favorite songs, just typing into YouTube how they made, I don't know, The Middle. And there's a video on that one. It's like Taylor Swift has made behind the scenes videos of how they produce songs. Lauv's done it as well. Honestly, your favorite people, their secrets will be out there somewhere. So search them up.
That sounds like a great resource, actually. And yeah, I think YouTube it's got a wealth of content anyway. So I mean,
yeah, honestly, you can type anything into that and you'll find it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Katie, so much for taking the time to come speak to us. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, head over to www.hypertribe.io and see what we can do to help you on your next steps in your career. This week we'll be launching a nice deal around Black Friday, so watch out for that and join our mailing list to get involved with that. If you like this episode, then also leave us a comment at hyper_tribe on Instagram. We love to know that you're listening, and shoot us a message to get in touch and get involved. We'll be releasing another podcast every Wednesday at 12 p.m. So stay tuned until next week. I've been your host, Kimmy Dixon, and thanks for listening. Stay safe and take care.